It does come from Matthew's 22nd chapter, verses 15 to 22. Jesus is being approached by some Pharisees and Herodians, and they're trying to trip Jesus up to get him in trouble. Hear these words from Eugene Peterson's Message translation of the Bible. That's when the Pharisees plotted a way to trap him into saying something damaging. They sent their disciples and a few of Herod's followers mixed in to ask, "Teacher, we know you have integrity, teach the way of God accurately, are indifferent to popular opinion, and don't pander to your students. So tell us honestly, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus knew they were up to no good. He said, "Why are you playing these games with me? Why are you trying to trap me? Do you have a coin? Let me see it." And they handed him a silver piece. "This engraving, who does it look like? Whose name is on it?" And they said, "Caesar." "Then give to Caesar what is his, and give to God what is his." Pharisees were speechless, and they went off shaking their heads. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we've reached another mile marker on our journey to hope. This is our fifth week of our Lenten sermon series, in which we've been stopping along the way each Sunday to look at some things that can trip us up, can distract us, and can discourage us on our way to hope, on our journey to hope. You'll recall in previous weeks we talked about relationships, we've talked about work, we've talked about self-esteem, talked about last week temptation. But today we've got to deal with something very important and absolutely necessary for any journey. And that something is money. Money. They say there are only two things certain in life. What are they? Death and taxes, right? Well, I would suggest that there's one more, at least as far as Americans are concerned. And that is the freedom. The freedom to manage our money as we see fit. It's interesting to me that those that don't have a lot of money seem to give proportionately more than those who have a lot. For those who have a lot are afraid of losing what they have. Today's mile marker, called money, will hopefully put money in its proper perspective so that money does not become a stumbling block, or I like to call a pothole, on that journey to hope. Here's a bit of American history trivia for you. When was the first national coin minted by the Continental Congress? It's printed on the coin, folks. 1776. This was just a piece of pewter that was minted. This was the first minted coin in our nation's history. And it's got some writing on it, which is really kind of fascinating. It's got the word up one side called fugio. See that word fugio to the left there? Well, that's Latin for "I fly." What's up with that? "I fly." I guess it means money just went through your hands, flew out of your pockets back then too, right? I don't know. There's a sundial on there. See the sundial? And under it says, "Time flies." Well, what's up with all this flying on the money? And then there's another phrase right under the sundial that says, "Mind your business." Mind, it doesn't say mind your own business. It says, "Mind your business." So what were the founding fathers thinking, you know, when they minted this money? We really don't know. Could it have been sage advice for colonial businessmen, or was it some disgruntled mint worker who just wanted to be cute and stamp something ridiculous on the money? We don't really know. But all we do know is that the dollar coin from 1776 is now worth $1,500. So if you happen to have one of these in your loose change drawer, it's worth a lot of money today, 232 years later. Now look at today's coins. I've got some pictures of some quarters and a dollar bill. And you'll find the words "E pluribus unum" on our money. And that means from many, one. From many, one. And it refers to the fact that the many states make up the one nation. From many, one. Truth of the matter is, and I didn't know this until I did some research on it, is that the founding fathers sort of plagiarized that phrase from a British magazine, which was a collection of letters that was written from many, many letters, one periodical, one book. And so they borrowed that from, or back then they didn't have plagiarism, they just took the words and used them on the money. That would be like today, the government borrowing something they read out of GQ magazine, Gentleman's Quarterly magazine. You've all seen the credit card commercial, I'm sure, that says, "What's in your wallet?" Right? Today, maybe we need to ask a similar question. What's your money saying to you? We see the inscriptions on the money and what it says to us there. But what is your money saying to you? Is it saying, "Mind your business"? Is your money saying, "I fly"? Yeah, it feels like our money's flying out of our pockets these days. Is it saying, "In God we trust"? But getting back to Jesus, getting back to our scripture story, Jesus is saying the money is saying something totally different. Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God." And today, I'm going to try to interpret what that means and unpack that so that we can have a better understanding and a better perspective on the issue of money. Now, Matthew tells us that a group of Pharisees and Herodians, these were disciples of the Pharisees and some followers of King Herod, who was in power, of course, at that time, of Jesus, then they're trying to set a trap for Jesus. They're trying to get him in trouble with the Romans so that they can have an excuse to have him arrested. They can't seem to pin him down on anything, and they were trying to trap him on this particular day. And they begin with some flattery. You know, if you really want to win somebody over, just shower them with compliments and flatter them. And they do the same thing here. They begin with some flattering, flowery words. They say, "Teacher, we know that you have integrity, and you teach the ways of God accurately, and you're indifferent to public opinion, and you don't pander to your students." Boy, are they setting him up or what? Sounds good, but whatever they're selling, Jesus ain't buying it. He knows what they're up to. And so they ask him a question. "Now tell us honestly," they say, "is it right to pay the taxes to Caesar or not?" You talk about a loaded question. Now that they may not sound loaded to you and I, but to Jesus in that day and age, that was a loaded question. That would be like asking someone, "Do you still beat your wife?" Think about that one. That was the dilemma Jesus found himself in. The trap is set, and Jesus is going to have to be very, very careful how he answers here. He knows that they're asking about a particular poll tax. Yes, you had to pay to vote in those days, and you had to pay the tax collectors in order to vote. The problem is the coin that is used for the poll tax has a picture on it, and the picture is of the emperor, Caesar Augustus, that no self-respecting Jew would be caught dead with. Why? Because they were to have nothing to do with graven images, according to Jewish law. That would be blasphemy. So if Jesus says, yes, it's lawful to pay the tax, then he alienates his own people, the whole nation of Israel, the Jewish people, if he says yes. But if he says no, then he's going to be arrested by the Romans for tax evasion. It's a dilemma, to say the least, and truly a lose-lose situation for Jesus. But Jesus is no dummy. He sees right through their trap. He asked one of the Pharisees for a coin, which they give him. Now, this is interesting. What is a Pharisee or a disciple of a Pharisee, a devout, law-abiding Jew, doing with a Roman coin? There's blasphemy right there. What were they doing with a Roman coin? And yet they produce one and they give it to Jesus. And Jesus holds it up and he says, whose picture is on this coin? And of course, they say Caesar. Then they start scratching their heads saying, where is he going with this? What does he mean? What's going to happen here? Well, Jesus slips right out of their trap like a mouse grabbing a piece of cheese off a mouse trap without getting caught. And he says to them, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. In other words, Jesus is saying without a definite yes or no that what really belongs to the emperor should go back to the emperor. He, in essence, is giving them an indirect yes, implying that paying taxes is not against Jewish law. But then he goes one step further and he says to also give to God what must be given to God, what belongs to God. For you see, the point Jesus is trying to make is that faithfulness and loyalty to God the Creator is a higher level of importance than loyalty to the throne or to the emperor. The Pharisees and the Herodians are speechless. They don't know how to react to that response, to that answer. And so they go away and they leave Jesus alone for a little while. We all know that money is important. We have to have money to function. We have to pay the bills. We have to have electric and we have to have food and we have to have transportation, and it all takes money. We give to the church, and the church takes money, of course. It was important in Jesus' day also. Did you know that second only to the kingdom of God, Jesus preached about money, wealth, and riches more than anything else? Check it out. Read your Bible. See how much he talks about money, wealth, and riches.